This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Michael Yon, returned from his sojourn in Central America to report to us about the specifics of what he's seen at the Darien Gap recently. This is up-to-date information. Reuters is saying in 2023, 520,000 migrants without documents passed through the Darien Gap, triple canopy jungle. At one time it was dangerous, now it's a smuggler's route into Panama, and from the Darien Gap edge, the Panama Highway takes you north through Panama City to the Costa Rica border, to the Nicaragua border, to the Honduras and Guatemala border, on to Mexico and on to the American border at Texas. 520,000 official number. Michael, however, in recent days, has planted himself with his video at the edge of the Darien Gap as you emerge from the triple canopy jungle. And what he's been seeing is a phenomenon that's fresh. He was there in 21. He was there in 22. He certainly was there in 23. And now it's 24. And what's fresh is Chinese nationals. Big numbers. Michael, a very good evening to you. Send me a video of a young man trudging out of the dark. This is probably about midnight, I'm guessing, in Panama, right at the edge of the official gate into a well-positioned camp. And the young man trudges up to you, very pleasant face, young man, I would say in his 20s, maybe 30. And he has no English. And you say, Fujian. And he goes, Fujian. And you ask him if he has English. No, no. He holds up his Huawei phone and types into it, and it uses the translator device to say, where you in camp? Tell me about being there, Michael, what you saw that night with him, what you said to him, what to make of him, and what to make of the other Chinese nationals coming out of the jungle. Good evening to you, Michael.
Good evening. From Panama City right now, I'm actually right next to the canal. I'm watching a ship transit one of the locks right now. As you know, I spend months at a time down in Darien Gap, and I'll be back there again soon. So I see tons of Chinese coming through constantly. Syrians, Afghans, Indians, the whole shebang, right? Star Wars Cafe. And these Chinese, they love to use that one camp. They call it San Vicente Camp. I call it China Camp or Mayorkas Camp because it's made with U.S. money, right? So that's the camp that there's numerous camps down in Darien. I've been to all of them, all the ones that you can get to without going on a major expedition into the jungle. I've been on, some of them are kind of semi-major, but I've been to, quite a few. But this one is the last camp that the Chinese will go to before they head up to Costa Rica. And so it's right along Highway 1. It's unmarked. There's no map. So I'm often out there at nighttime, late at night, because the Chinese come in out of the jungle and they're looking for the camp. And usually they walk by it because it's unmarked. The Panamanian government doesn't want the world to know that the camp is there. So when the Chinese, they always come up looking at their phone. I see many, many groups per night. Usually, the groups are usually 6 to 8, which is how many will fit in some of these trucks that are bringing them out of the jungle, that last part of the jungle. And they're looking at their phones, and they'll go past, and they'll go down the wrong roads. And so he was doing that. That one Chinese guy that showed me his phone, where's the UN camp? He was one of those many, many that I see. And sometimes I'll kind of pick one of them off to try to talk with, especially if they speak English. And interestingly, I think it was that night or the night before, there was one I'll say, ni hao, in Chinese, hello. And sometimes I can pick one of them off by saying, ni hao. And then they'll, come sit with me or talk with me, and I can learn a lot more. One, for instance, I did that with last week or so, and he showed up and he wanted to, and he asked for a light from his for a cigarette, and then once he saw I had a video camera running, he got angry and he tried to force me to delete it, so I called my team over. And I was like, hey, and so as soon as he saw the team come over, he kind of ran off into the darkness. But so, yeah, a lot of these guys are quite serious, the Chinese, and they're coming over, and a lot of them are military age males. We always say that, but you should see it. Not just military age males. I think many of these are actually military males, not all of them, but some are clearly like units. Others are just groups of people that happen to be together, but some clearly appear to be units moving together, same haircuts, same everything. They always come, the Chinese come out. Actually, I think about 2 weeks ago, I think a few may have been killed in a drowning incident, but that's rare. I'm not sure if those were Chinese. There was some flash floods. I was out on the river in the Darien, and oh man, this is dry season, but there's been a lot of rain and the river is really flooded up. And sometimes, you know, when this happens, a lot of people get swept away, especially people that aren't familiar with the jungle. They'll sleep next to the rivers and they'll be in their sleeping bags and tents, not sleeping bags, but their tents. They'll be wrapped up in their blankets and they'll just wash down the river. And large numbers too. One group, I remember there were 40 coming through in one group and 20 died actually. So 50% of that group. And let's see another, I just saw one of my old videos. I was looking at it this morning, trying to get information for my own videos. This is about a year or so ago. And I'm talking on my own video about 160 or something died in a series of flash floods. There's so many of these things happen. I had actually forgotten about that. I mean, it's unbelievable how much action happens out in that jungle. It's almost like a war. As you know, I spent years in war, so I'm kind of familiar with that pace of things. But, you know, hearing that five people got killed, it happens so often, you'll just literally forget about it unless you look at your old notes. And so the Chinese are taking easier and safer routes. They'll pay more money, and they'll very few of the Chinese take the really hard routes.
Yeah, this is important, Michael. Explain the details of what you've been learning about bypassing the hardest part of the Darien Gap. How do they do it and where it is?
Yeah, they'll start, okay, let's back up. Usually the Chinese will start in Quito, Ecuador, and then they'll move their way mostly by bus up through these hotels. They rent entire hotels out. Along the way, you know, Anthony Rubin just stayed in some of those hotels, and then they'll come up. The Chinese with more money, they will pay and take a boat. They will go to Nicoclí, Colombia, and then they'll take a boat to Copacabana, Colombia, and from there they'll take another boat, and they'll bypass most of the hard Darien Gap. They'll go to this Cuna Indian area. There's three major places that will land, and one of them is actually New Caledonia, believe it or not. For those who, the 1% who know what I'm talking about, New Caledonia was where the Scottish set up a camp in the Darien a couple centuries or so ago. I think it was about 1790s, and they tried to make a route across the Darien, and it bankrupted the Scottish, and that's how they ended up getting absorbed into the by the British, by the English, right? So that's what it was. The Darien Gap that actually cost the Scottish their independence. They went bankrupt. So in any case, some of the Chinese will land in that area. There's some Cuna Indians there, and those are the ones you'll very occasionally see in photos. They actually rent horses, so they'll ride in horses, and they'll. You know, they won't carry any gear because they'll have the Cuna Indians or the horses carrying their gear. And then there's another route that's a little bit less expensive where it's only about 2 days through the jungle. And there's another route also that's 2 or 3 days. So those are the easy routes. And the easiest route, I mean, first of all, if you go through the Cuna Indian area and you pay that extra money, you're not going to get raped or robbed or murdered. You may get drowned or something, but probably not. But if you go the hard route, the one that takes you right through the jungle when you start on the Colombia side, I've started on that jungle side before in the Darien Gap, but I didn't go all the way through. That's where the bandits really kill and rape, and they fall off the mountain of death. Then they go over the four crossings, and a lot of people get lost, four crossings, these rivers and whatnot. A lot of people get lost out there, they drown, or they just die. Every day, I was just out in the Darien Gap a couple times in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, it's just people telling stories about all the dead people they saw falling off the Mountain of Death. By the way, the Mountain of Death is actually the Continental Divide. The same Continental Divide that you see up in the United States goes right down through here and right through the Darien Gap. And so when you hear the aliens talking about Montaña de la Muerte, the mountain of death, that's the continental divide. They fall on the Pacific side. So, yeah, these numbers are dramatically increasing. But the interesting thing about the Darien Gap is even though those numbers are just there's stunning increases, like by multiples, three or four times as much as last year, those numbers clearly are continue to increase. But a lot of the people that used to go through the Darien Gap now fly directly to Guatemala, or they fly directly to Mexico, or fly directly to the United States. For instance, there's Swift Air flights now 24/7. To the United States from Colombia, from Guatemala. You've got a lot of people fly directly to Nicaragua now and then work their way up, or they fly directly to Mexico. They'll go to Cancun, or like a lot of the Chinese will go to Cancun or Mexico City, and then they'll work their way up. So they'll just bypass all of that. Interestingly, you know, I was just up in Belize and Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador, and the Chinese influence is extreme. Like in San Salvador, the Chinese Communist Party is building a huge library. I was in it. It's seven floors, and it's huge. But it's just a brainwashing center. Like, it's mostly video games. Like, I think it was the fifth floor. The fifth floor is for 14 to 24-year-olds. I don't know how you make that grouping, but that's what they told me numerous times. So I said, 14 to 24-year-olds, that's your grouping, huh? And they're like, yeah, this is the video games. So it's not really a library that we would – I learn a lot in every country I go to by going to their museums and their bookstores and their libraries. And this seven-floor library with the big Chinese communist flag flying outside in San Salvador, in El Salvador, capital of El Salvador, big Chinese communist flag out front, it's mostly video games. And you have to read a book for 30 minutes in order to get access to a video game for 1 hour. And they were showing, they kept saying, you know, we got PlayStation 5. And I'm like, okay, I've heard of PlayStation before. I don't really know what it looks like. You know, they've got Game of Thrones, Batman, and, you know, Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter and literally all that stuff. And so it's a game. It's a game center. It's a brainwashing center. And so, you know, I see these things everywhere I go. Up in Honduras, I was just up there studying the Chinese information war. They got archaeologists up there trying to persuade the Mayan Indians, and so that all these bad white Spanish people and Germans and everybody else took their land, and then we got to bind together and kick out all these colonists. You know what's interesting is when, like down here in Panama and other places, some of the people that are woke, especially the college students, they talk about the white colonial imperialist powers and whatnot. And they seem to forget until you bring it up to them. One of the biggest colonizers in the world, you know, they just say to them, like, is you, right? I mean, you're of Spanish descent, right? I mean, you know, you're the one that took this. Notice you're speaking Spanish, right? I mean, you're not speaking Embera or Kuna or Wunan language or Nobe, right? You're speaking Spanish. You are the colonizer. This is how powerful these brainwashing games go. But bottom line is, you know, I had dinner with a Honduran general up there in Honduras, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks ago. And he had been brought to China seven times already because his grandfather came to Honduras in something like 1924. And so the Chinese Communist Party calls those people overseas Chinese. And so they'll take you back to China and, you know, show you your village, which they did with him, and, you know, showed him the graves of his ancestors, they said, where his aunt had a big parade for him. Keep in mind, this is the retired chairman, equivalent of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff of the Honduran military, right? So they took him over to China seven times, you know, so that they do these grooming processes all over the place, put the libraries up, put the museums up. I've gone all over the world looking at museums because I call it museum warfare. You'll see, you know, the structure and the architecture of these information wars is quite extensive. But you can actually, the more you look at it, the more you can see how the spider web works. And so China is, you know, I'm looking at the Panama Canal out the window here. You may hear a ship go by while we're here, or the train, the Pan American, the Panama Canal Railway is actually right by out the window as well.
Yeah,
well,
let's talk about Panama in just a moment. I just want to finish this Chinese section. So the Chinese nationals you've seen in your most recent visit within these last weeks, would you say the number is larger? Through the gap. We're not talking about the alternative routes. Would you say the number is larger? Are they better prepared? Are they worse prepared? Are they younger? Are they older? Could you characterize the ones you've seen recently?
They're younger, they're better prepared, and there's more for sure. Because remember, in 2021, when I started telling you about it, and I looked at the logbooks back then, I mean, I've got photographs of some of the logbooks. It would be like, you know, two Chinese today, zero the next day, four, zero, 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 one, seven, you know, not seven. It was like, it'd be like, you know, 70 people a month, maybe, you know what I mean? Make something like that, you know, along those lines, not nothing. Now it can be 400 a day Chinese. I'm not sure of the current numbers, but I would say that's certainly directionally accurate. So it used to be in the when I first started coming to Darien, I would hear about occasionally, because I would ask about Chinese and Russians and Chechens and that sort of thing. Most people know what a Chechen is, but I would ask anyway, just in case. But the Chinese, I would just hear about them. Oh, a Chinese person went through, or maybe he was something else. But you know, it was like Bigfoot sightings, you know, because there were thousands of others coming through. Didn't see them very much, because they were just blended in with so many. But now it's like the predominant group right now is Venezuelans, right, which would be a lot of, by the way, Hezbollah, by the way.
Right.
But then there's Chinese, many hundreds per day.
Michael Yan, @Michael_Yan for his Twitter feed. We're going to turn to Panama. Michael's in Panama City now. And over the last 2 years, now 3 years, Panama City's changed dramatically, not for the better. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.